This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Second hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. NFL No Huddle just a couple of minutes away as Week 4 kicks off tonight between the Cowboys and the Giants right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley going to join us in 20 minutes. Braves, an unexpected couple of days off because of the weather, obviously, but we'll get him in here and get all the scenarios for the weekend and the doubleheader coming up on Monday. We'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40 as well.
A shout out to one of the all-time what-ifs. Saw Derrick Rose retired.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate what-if prospects. Man, this guy doesn't get hurt. I mean, who was it, Goran Dragic that he dunked on? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, I mean.
He's still rising.
Just, I mean, the explosiveness now, I mean, just because I still think LeBron should have won that MVP anyways, but, I mean, he was great that year. He really, really was. And to see him just robbed of every thought, that explosiveness that he had and the power and the speed and quickness, yeah, it just, the ultimate what if.
Yeah, it was. It was so, that brief moment of those Bulls.
Yes.
And how good they were.
And tough.
He was, they were tough.
Yeah.
I mean, he would, it's like a springboard was in the ground. He would just dunk on anybody. Or like, honestly, the dunks were amazing, but the layups were almost more amazing because he'd just be in the air for 10 seconds.
Yes.
And he'd triple pump and spin it off the glass and all that. He was so good. Yeah, sucks. You're right.
But it's like 16 years.
I know
it was crazy.
Now he played about 4 years like that.
And then
he played about
sparingly.
10 years differently. Now he was still effective. He was huge on that Knicks playoff team
a couple
years ago. Yeah.
Off the bench, he was like, but then he wore down.
Yeah.
But then it warmed down again.
Even after all those years, Derek, you still gotta play.
A tough and rugged team they had. Him, Luau Deng, Jimmy Butler,
Joakim Noah,
and Taj Gibson,
who I think somehow still plays
somewhere. He still, if Tibbs got a job, he gonna have a
Taj Gibson's throwing elbows and hitting people in the face. We were talking off the air briefly about who could be the picker on game day.
Yes.
Obviously, in Tuscaloosa, they always like to have a home team themed picker.
But they've already had Joe Namath. Now I'm
just looking. I'm on the TuscaloosaNews.com, which seems like a really good place to get your Tuscaloosa news.
Okay.
They've got a list of options, just like poll question, basically. Joe Namath is on there.
Okay.
Me and Abe both threw out Terry Sabin, Miss Terry,
okay.
Nick Saban's wife, which I think would be
really cool. Yes.
Wholesome, all that kind of stuff. Taylor Swift's name's on there for some reason. If you want to get people fired up.
Okay.
All right. There's a couple other names down the list that are on there as well, but I don't know. My vote is Miss Terry.
Yeah, I would love to see Miss Terry up there because she knows her ball. And the thing about it is,
it'd probably make him a little uncomfortable, and that'd be kind of funny.
Oh, no doubt about it, dude. No doubt about it. But I would love to see it because obviously they're going to pick Alabama. Nick's going to pick Alabama. We all know everybody up there's probably going to pick him, except for probably Desmond. No, Desmond to go too. But I think that would be so great because if you watch the show, and I'll catch it in, I usually catch the beginning and then I'll catch the end because I'm out and about with the kids. But he hates picking games. Nick Saban absolute hates it when he has a pick game. So I don't know what, because he's not good at it, first of all.
Yeah.
But he hates it. And it's so funny watching him explain every time it's pick time.
Right.
That reason.
Because he wants to be respectful to both teams.
Yes. He hates picking games.
Yeah. Now, we wondered before the year even started if he would be a part of that segment, right? Because you knew he was going to hate it. You knew he wasn't going to want it. But, man, he's been awesome on that show. Best ratings they've ever had, I saw, through 3 weeks or 4 weeks or however many it's been. Yeah. But, they're off to a great start.
Cold Coach Corso, though, man. Just bring him for the headgear, dog.
Yep.
Bring him for the headgear.
Yep. Yep. All right. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Let's do it. NFL no huddle every day to lead the noon hour. Like we said, Thursday night football starts week four tonight. Divisional matchup, Cowboys and Giants, both 1-2. Now, no one's surprised.
Who's a better looking 1-2?
Oof. Giants won their last one.
Yeah. Who's a better looking 1-2? Because the damn Giants should be 2-1 if they had a damn kicker.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they lost the game where they didn't give up any touchdowns.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have a 2-game losing streak right now.
Can't stop the run.
I don't know. I think the Giants are a better 1-2.
I think so too.
Because it's more. The Giants could have been 1-16 this year, and it wouldn't surprise me. They win tonight.
Are the Giants better than Cowboys?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
They're not. Are they?
I don't know. I mean,
they stopped the run better. That Giants defensive line, Dexter Lawrence is an absolute man. That guy is a monster.
Are the Giants better than the Cowboys?
Well, they're going to play tonight. We'll find out. Here, Vegas doesn't think so because that game's in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Where's it at?
And it's the Cowboys favored by 6.
Okay.
So that's 9 with the home field.
Okay.
So they think, I hope the Giants are better than the Cowboys. I'll go that far.
Okay.
I don't think the Giants are good. I don't think Daniel Jones is good, and I don't think the Giants are good.
I don't think the Cowboys are good, though.
But they're not.
They're not.
The Cowboys are not good.
No.
That's great to say. It might be just a crap game tonight.
It's a possibility. I think I saw that Dak is 12-0 against 12-0 in the last 12 games. He hasn't lost to the Giants in 12
against
starts.
Against the Giants? Yeah. Well, they've been really bad.
Yeah, he hasn't lost to the Giants in like 12 really starts. I think I saw that this morning. But yeah, I think the Giants can win this game.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
Where are we at from an injury standpoint? I'm looking.
For this game tonight?
Yeah.
It's like everybody. No,
everybody looks okay.
Yeah, nothing major tonight.
Yeah. No, everybody looks okay. Except the Giants kicker. I know they got a new one.
Oh,
but
my God.
Graham Gano. All right. Let's hear from Raheem Morris. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. This is really what it's all about. Obviously, what happened against the Saints and what's happened against the Chiefs and what happened the first 3 weeks of the season matters. We've talked a lot about it. But the most important thing now is beating the Saints. Here he is saying what that's going to take.
We got to go out, man, and play really with speed on offense. We got to be efficient on offense. We got to convert on third down.
Yes.
We got to guard on defense, man, and we got to find a way to stop this explosive offense from getting explosive plays. They got 2 wideouts that can be explosive. They got a running back that can be explosive. All kinds of weapons all over the place. And we got to go out there and rush this passer and David Carr. On teams, we got to go out there and find a way to get coverage units down there. They got a bunch of good returners. We've seen how explosive they are. They've always played well on teams. They've actually won games on teams in this National Football League, which is hard to do. And I've seen.
All right, I got one question. Is Taysom Hill playing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the Falcon killer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play last week. I know he got hurt last. He was hurt last week.
Full practice yesterday.
Full practice. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he kills the Falcons.
Kamara didn't practice but Taysom Kamara Hill
practice.
Did.
But
he is.
DeMario. Okay.
He's got. DeMario Davis didn't practice yesterday.
Okay.
I think all of those guys will probably go.
Probably.
Obviously, Eric McCoy is not going to go to the center. He's on IR.
Yeah.
But
he's absolutely, dude, they got to play with speed. But he's absolutely great. Third down will be better if you play better on first and second down. They got to be.
You can also play with speed if you're better on first and second down.
Exactly, man. You got to go, man. And this, and you got to sustain it because they've had good opening drives, but you've got to sustain that and you got to adjust to their drives. And so, but the third down is a big deal. And, you know, I know they're without their all-world center, but they still want to run the football because that's how this works. So you're going to have to play physical. You're going to have to come downhill. You're going to leave these corners. They're going to be an island sometimes because you're going to have to, if they get that run game going, either Jesse or Justin going to have to put them into the box. So that's going to be another problem. But, I mean, this is a physical damn football. And then, you had a short turnaround to Temple. Now, you can't think about that. You got to worry about Sunday. But, yeah, this is a big boy pad because they want to play physical. And we talk about who's not there on offense. Their defense still there. Mm-hmm. That front seven's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And Breece, he seemed like he has figured it out up front. DeMario, we talked about that. They got corners. And then the Honey Badgers back there, mm-hmm. play around with it and do some stupid. Because you know that ball that hit off somebody's helmet?
Yeah.
He'll find a way to catch it because that's just what he does.
He's got such a nose for the football. He always comes up with a pick. And you're right, Taysom Hill's a killer for the Falcons. He's going to break off a big play at some point. All of that is absolutely right, and all of that ties into this as well. But to me, it boils the quarterback hasn't been good enough.
He has not been.
He has not been. There's been flashes, and it's better than the last couple of years, but that's a very low bar.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins has not played well enough. It's not.
Here he is from yesterday talking about how that doesn't have anything to do with the injury.
I don't think it does either.
Neither does Kirk.
Yeah, I don't walk off the field saying the ankle affected the game. I do, you know, say we're going to keep getting better as we get more time on task together. I think every other team's saying that too. So there's a little bit of, you know, every week that we get those experienced reps, so is our opponent. And so it can only take you so far in that regard.
I don't think it has anything to do with it either. Why do we keep saying ankle?
I don't know. Yeah. It's connected to the Achilles bone.
They call it the Achilles. Yeah, because he didn't say ankle the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
He said ankle.
That's all right.
Is something wrong with it? But no. I don't think that right now, that's the problem. He's just not being good. He's not been good as he is. You know what I mean? Or has been. I should say has been. Because, hell, this might be just him. But I don't think it is. But, no, he got to play better. He's burping the ball still. He's got to trust it more than anything. Let it go, all right? And let it go and trust these guys. Not saying he don't trust them, but have that these guys are going to make these plays for me.
The thing that's been so good about him as he's sort of gone from what he was to being, you know, one of the top 15, top 10, whatever quarterbacks in the NFL is his anticipation. He's able to get the ball where it needs to be before the defender can get there and just sort of mentally very, very smart. He's been late on a lot of stuff.
Andy, where it's usually so sharp.
And week one against the Steelers, we talked about all the different stuff being disjointed. The routes weren't great from the receivers. Like, those guys weren't getting open. Guys were getting open against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go back and watch that fourth quarter against the Chiefs. There's a bunch of throws that were there, and they didn't get made. The completions that he had in the fourth quarter were all, like, pretty easy. I don't want to say easy because he's the NFL, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, short passes, those little quick screen passes that he was making. All the downfield stuff was there. Like, Drake's beating
Let
guys
it go,
down
man.
The field. Kyle, even though he got fouled in the end zone, Kyle had that guy beat. If you throw it up
Let
there.
It go.
Yeah.
Let it go. He's got to be sharper. He's got to be sharper for this thing to go where it needs to go.
He has not been good enough.
He hasn't been. He was great in Philly. The two-man drive was great because it was there in front of him. There wasn't. First of all, they didn't rush him.
Even on that drive, a couple of those throws were a little underthrown.
But
it worked out.
The first one to Moody, the post corner. But yeah, you got it done. But yeah, he's got to play better, man. Period.
That's what it is. Like, really. I mean, all the other stuff I think comes from that. You're better on third down if he's better. You know what I mean? The defense, if you get a lead, maybe the defense has a better opportunity to get to the quarterback in some of those they have to pass the ball situations. I don't know. He's been okay. Hadn't been good enough yet. Hopefully Sunday's different. We'll come back and get Grant McCauley in here. We'll get his thoughts on the Braves. Obviously, they're not playing today. They did not play tomorrow. Doubleheader on Monday against the Mets. We'll get Grant's thoughts on that. How they stagger the pitching rotation and everything Braves coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Game. 20 minutes away from the back page with Bo. Hour number two of the show, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll get back into the big story of the day, top of the 1 o'clock hour, as we continue looking ahead to a huge football weekend, huge baseball weekend as well, obviously. And Grant McCauley joins us right now, as he always does on Thursdays, host of From the Diamond, our Braves insider. Nothing doing today, though, or yesterday.
G-Mac, I got a question for you, brother. Have you watched, because there's no Braves, so have you watched the Mr. McMahon yet?
I have started it, okay. But I don't think I've gotten to what I would consider to be what I'm actually waiting to see, is how they finish this portrayal based on the last couple of years.
Right. Because considering that he had to sell his stuff. Yeah.
Well, he was, sounds like he was mad about it.
Yeah.
So.
He was kind of
big mad. Yeah. He's big mad.
He's big mad about it.
All right. Well, what are the, I mean, maybe the Braves players could watch that today with a little down. Like, what do they do today with no game on a day where there was supposed to be a game and it's not going to get rained out later? They know there's no game.
Yeah, I mean, all you can do really is just kind of rest. I don't know that they're really going to, you know, they can't do much on the field because of the weather. Right. So I don't know really if they need to maybe come in as they maybe see fit in terms of treatment or just getting a little bit of work in. But otherwise, there's not a lot you can do here except sit around and wait. And that is a really difficult thing considering what's going to be on the other side of these couple of rainouts. I mean, is the weekend going to cooperate? Will the weather be good enough for the Royals to get into town to get that series started on time? I think it's a decent question. Right. Then you got to get through that. And you know, that's a team that's also fighting for its playoff lives. And then on the other side, you got a potential doubleheader with the Mets on Monday. This could wreak havoc on everybody's pitching plans, obviously, and I wish I had the answers for how exactly you line it up in an ideal situation, but I think we all know this is far from an ideal situation.
Yeah, do you think that, obviously, if they can get this game in tomorrow, that they're going to probably go with the initial, the what was left over from the Mets as far as like Chris Sale and those guys like that?
I would think so, and that's just based on, I mean, if you hold them over and wait for that doubleheader, and then you don't play well against the Royals, and it creates a larger gap between yourself and the Mets, which is yourself in the playoffs. And obviously the Arizona Diamondbacks are a factor in this, but they won last night, so you couldn't expect them to lose every game for the rest of the year. Though if they do, that would obviously open up a totally different window and series of discussions for both the Braves and the Mets. But I think controlling what you can control is the object here for the Braves, and that means going into this weekend against a good Kansas City Royals club that has played poorly at times this month, but is still very much alive and fighting for a spot in the playoffs, go out there with the best that you have. And then keeping in mind, the strength of the Braves starting rotation is still there, even if you have to deploy Sale and Freed and Morton over the weekend. Spencer Schwellenbach would be ready for Monday in game one against the Mets. If everything goes according to plan as best it possibly can, maybe you only have to play game one. Right. And game two is unnecessary because you've won the season series against the Mets, and thus you wouldn't need to even worry about finishing in a tie.
Yeah, you've hinted at some of it there, and a lot of it is stuff that they can't control. Obviously, Braves just have to win all the games and all that. But the other stuff is interesting, too. So, I mean, take the time you need. I know there's a lot of permeations. The floor is yours. What are the things outside the Braves' control that could lead to Monday not mattering or mattering more? Like, what are other teams' scenarios that will play into what the Braves and Mets have to do on Monday?
Biggest one, I think, for the Braves and the Mets is the Arizona Diamondbacks against the San Diego Padres this weekend. That one is not in the path of any hurricanes, tropical storms, or really any rain whatsoever because they're all the way out there and away from all of this. Those three games should happen. If the Padres beat up on the Diamondbacks and sweep that series, that creates a very large door, perhaps big enough for the Braves and the Mets to fight their way through at the same time. But that, again, is just one of many scenarios. Now, if the Padres, who are also fighting, by the way, to try to win the National League West here in the final weekend of the season, they got one more with the Dodgers today. Then they've got the three head-to-head with the Diamondbacks, which means that the Dodgers kind of have to take it seriously in their final series as well because, you know, they could get pushed into the wild card picture, which would change dramatically their plans. So there's a lot of different teams that are still in it, and I didn't think we'd be sitting here talking about what does this mean for the L.A. Dodgers, but here we are because this weekend has not really settled anything, and this weather has just thrown a gigantic wrench into the plans for the Braves and for the Mets, and I've seen a lot of consternation online about, well, why is it this way? Why didn't the league do something? Why didn't the Braves do something? And I'm sure that the Mets feel some kind of way about it. I know that the Braves feel some kind of way about it because this being a three-game series was a result of an April rainout, and the Mets did not find a day that they wanted to come back to Atlanta and play that. So instead of having to make up one game, you got to make up two. And they didn't play on Monday because the Mets declined to play on Monday, according to reports. So what are you going to do? The answer is play a doubleheader the day before the wild card.
get over it. Hey, Grant, I saw Lopez was he's pretty much cleared right now. Do you see him having any kind of impact on anything this weekend?
Yeah, I've kind of been looking at him as kind of the wild card in all of this because, I mean, he came off the injured list against the Phillies and looked the best maybe he'd looked all season, and that was after the elbow inflammation. He threw on Tuesday, came out of that side session feeling good, so can you get him kind of ready to give you a solid four, maybe five innings if all goes well, and then just figure it out with your bullpen after that? If that doesn't go well, do you have an insurance policy like a Grant Holmes that could cover multiple innings for you? And then kind of deploy the bullpen, empty it out as best you can. Because if it's win to get in or win or go home, I guess, is probably the way most people would say that. It's you pretty much have to do everything that you possibly can to get there. And that's what the Braves have been fighting for. So I feel like if they do go Sale, Fried, Morton over the weekend, you got Schwellenbach, I would throw him in game one of that doubleheader. Then you come back and maybe it's Ronaldo Lopez and everybody else you can muster if you have to play both games of that doubleheader.
So when you play a doubleheader, you get an extra roster spot, right? That comes into play Monday, I assume.
Right, which could be a starting pitcher from the minor leagues if you felt like you needed that as an insurance policy, which would mean these guys have been sitting for a week.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they've been throwing. I mean, they don't just all pack up and fly to their home wherever in the U.S. and wait to be called back. I mean, there's procedures and policies and all of this to have some of these guys ready. But is that Ian Anderson, who hasn't pitched in a big league game since 2022?
Right.
I tend to believe maybe not. Is that A.J. Smith-Shawver? Is that Bryce Elder? Is there somebody else I'm not thinking of that they just want to add as a relief option? It's really kind of – it's up to them. But they do get an extra roster spot, and I would imagine that will be used on a pitcher who would be, for all intents and purposes, an insurance policy of some sort. But how nice of an insurance policy, that would remain to be seen with how he's used.
Does that count as an option? Like, because with Ian Anderson, some of the conversation is about they don't want to use that this year, so they have it for next year. Like, is there a loophole there, or does that count?
You know, that's a great question. But since you have to be, I mean, he's on the 40-man.
Right.
To bring him up, I part of me says no, it might not.
Hey.
But then the other part of me says, he hasn't pitched a major league game all season.
Right.
Don't you have to initially make a call to bring him up? But it's the answer is we're in a weekend where a lot of people are going to be looking at things and saying, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'm just saying.
They say in wrestling, we'll call it in the ring.
I'm just saying, how crazy would it be if it comes down to a winner-take-all game two of a doubleheader and Ian Anderson, who hasn't pitched in a couple years, makes a start.
That would be
the story of the year.
It'd be incredible.
That would be awesome.
Eight strong. Hey, Grant, tell us a little bit about this Kansas City Royal team, because we know that obviously they're fighting for their playoff lives and everything like that. They have a superstar player in Witt Jr., but what is it about this team? I mean, because I don't know a lot about them outside of him.
I think that the Royals really were a club that went out last winter and surprised a few people by spending some money on starting pitchers, but I kind of viewed them the same way I looked at the Mets, to be honest, where they need some pitchers to help fortify a rotation, build everything out, and if they don't play particularly well and they're not in the hunt, well, you got some really, really nice trade ships that you can cash in at the end of July. But then they played well enough to where they held on to them. Bobby Witt Jr. is having an MVP caliber season leading that club. They did lose Vinny Pasquantino, their first baseman. So he's not going to be available for him. He was closing in on 100 RBI season. And we'll see if they've got enough offense, you know, put together around Bobby Witt, including Salvador Perez, who's, you know, one of the better hitting catchers in Major League Baseball, to make this run. But overall, it's just kind of a club that I feel like at this point, you know, they've kind of been playing with house money for a while. They're ahead of schedule in terms of when anybody thought they'd be in the playoff race. And they're fighting amongst their American League Central brethren, the Detroit Tigers, who jumped into this picture, the Minnesota Twins, who've been hanging around in it. Somebody's going to be disappointed, but that Central division, outside of the Guardians kind of running off and hiding in the second half, that's been a pretty interesting race.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking baseball, talking Braves. Braves with a couple days off unexpectedly with the weather. Back at it, hopefully, tomorrow against the Royals for three, and then a doubleheader on Monday against the Mets. Say they take care of business, and next Wednesday when we're talking, they're in the wild card, and we're still talking about Braves baseball in 2024. With Michael Harris hitting the way that he's hitting, and Olsen hitting the way that he's been hitting for a couple of months now, and this starting rotation, how hard is it to talk yourself into these guys maybe being able to actually make a run?
Not as hard as it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago when the leadoff spot was really not well-defined, when maybe Jorge Soler was still kind of trying to figure his stuff out as well, when you didn't have Ozzie Albies back, and obviously Marcell Ozuna had gone a little bit quiet by his standards, but I mean, still batting well over 300 this year, so it's not like he disappeared, but the home runs, the runs batted in, all that stuff just wasn't there, and we saw the Braves doing things like losing 1-0 games to the Cincinnati Reds and, you know, not being able to handle the Washington Nationals. If you'd asked me then, I would have said, even with the starting pitching, I just don't see the offense to support it, and my case for that is, look at the 140-something games that they had played at that point. But now it's seeming to be coming together at the right time, in particular with guys like Michael Harris being red hot. Matt Olson has had a very good last couple of months and pushing himself into numbers that I wasn't sure he was going to get to this year on the whole. So with that, with Solaire, with Albies back, Ramon Laureano's been swinging a pretty good bat. If you can get anything out of the bottom of the order, you like your rotation. I still think the bullpen, even without A.J. Minter, is pretty solid. So it's not as hard as you might think. It's just how steep is the hill they're going to have to climb, or the mountain they're going to have to climb, to get through this weekend, to get through Monday, to get through a wild card series, just to find themselves back in the NLDS, where in previous years they had wrapped everything up and sat around and waited for a week to get back to playing baseball.
Hey, Grant, real quick, let me get – what's your thought? I know we all think of the same thing, but I want to get your thoughts on what happened up there in Pittsburgh as they're desperate for cash, Grant. What did you think about what that situation would happen?
I don't know why they're that desperate for cash. They receive revenue sharing dollars every single year, so they're spending other people's money. Exactly. And it's a bad look. It's unprofessional. And I think that will also reflect on players who, if they ever were to think about possibly, perhaps, spending money on getting people to come in and say, this is an environment I want to play, stuff like that doesn't help.
Yeah, I agree. For people that don't know, Rowdy Tellez was cut four at-bats short of a $200,000 bonus. Because they didn't want to pay him $200,000, which is pretty cheap. You're right. Yeah. They do revenue share. They do get money from all the other markets. Maybe you should sell the team if that's too much for you. Grant, we appreciate the time. Thank
appreciate
you.
The G, Mike.
You got it. I don't want to take up too much more time, but if you haven't seen Bob Nutting taking his picture with the fan wearing a T-shirt that said sell the team, please Google that because you will laugh.
I will. That sounds awesome. Right. Thank you, Grant. Grant take McCauley care, there. Yep. 92 on the game, Atlanta Braves insider.
Sell. I mean.
There are people that should not own professional
Ryan
teams.
Ryan Dorsey should not own the White Sox anymore.
Yeah, he needs to sell that team.
He needs to sell the team because obviously we know
the
about
A's guy needs to sell that
they need
team.
They need to sell them.
Sell them. Let them stay in Oakland. Sell them.
I know we don't, but the revenue and all the joint revenue, I get, and of course I'm not giving that up, but dude, y'all are awful.
Yeah. If you sell them, you're going to get a whole bunch.
You're going to get more than that with the sharing.
You get a whole bunch, and then you can just go away on an island and do whatever weird stuff you're into.
Man.
You know? And then let all the people that like the team.
That love the team.
Yeah, they love the team, can still love the team. Pittsburgh's a really good sports city.
It is it's a really good sports city.
Really good sports city.
You think basketball would thrive there?
I think anything. I think anything would work there. I think. I don't know. Have they ever had any basketball in Pittsburgh?
No.
Never. Huh?
No.
That's interesting. Because obviously, a great football town.
Hockey.
They love hockey.
Yes.
They're big on baseball, and the Pirates are good. It doesn't happen that much.
Right.
It's wild. They never had a basketball team. All right, we'll get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We figured it out.
We figured it out, dog.
Yeah. We figured the next
venture for us.
The next Andy and Randy venture.
Yes.
Because we got a few ventures.
Yeah,
all right?
Man.
T-shirts are coming.
Yep.
Obviously, the radio show, podcast, all that stuff.
Yep.
We're going to be consultants.
We're going to be consultants, man.
We're going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to consult.
Because I think, and I mean, you were talking about it, because everybody, because I mean, I've met a lot of people, and everybody who I've ever met, and so what do you do for a living? I'm a consultant. Okay.
Okay.
I consult overseas mostly. Like, you a damn liar.
What are you consulting with?
What are you consulting with? What are you consulting with about?
Who do you believe more? The I'm a consultant overseas or I'm an entrepreneur?
The entrepreneur.
You believe him?
No, I don't believe him. I don't believe.
Yeah.
Like, you can go, hey, man, you can steal copper wire out of a house and sell it and make money. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
No, you're a damn thief.
I'm a small business owner.
Yeah, what dictates what an entrepreneur is? I know the definition of it, but, like,
I think that's just kind of being self-employed, right?
Self-employed? Like
I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question.
Like selling CDs out the car, was that an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Like burning them and selling them? That's being an entrepreneur,
that's
right?
That's entrepreneurial.
Okay.
My, you met Nancy, my mom's best friend. Her grandson, Sam, just went to college. But in the county that they lived in Washington, they stopped doing recycling glass pickup during COVID.
Right.
So he has a truck. And he started signing up neighbors and people in the neighborhood and all that. And then it grew and grew and grew. And he was doing glass recycling. Entrepreneurial.
That's entrepreneurial.
He's an entrepreneur. He was making money off that. But now he's going to college. And his sisters are going to keep the business going.
There you go, right?
Because they got the truck.
Entrepreneurial.
So he built a business.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, dog. Whatever. Teach his own, man. But yeah, everybody. Okay. So me. Training and doing all the things and God giving me the ability to do something that I always love. But am I a self-made man?
I think so.
Okay.
But I don't know that you're an entrepreneur because, like, you didn't create the NFL.
I didn't. That's what I'm saying. So I can't have entrepreneur in my background.
No.
Okay.
No. You just, I mean, many. Well, but maybe you've been sort of entrepreneurial post NFL with some of your business stuff.
But that's true. But still. Okay.
Do you want to be an entrepreneur?
I just want to put it in my bio.
Start selling all your old gear, then you can be an entrepreneur.
I'm not selling nobody nothing. No, you know, Bo, you know I hang on to it. Yeah. Y'all know me by now. I hang on to everything. I don't throw away. There's so much stuff, and she gets on my damn nerves with it. That's why I hate when she goes down in the basement. She goes into the storage unit down there because that's all where all my stuff is, and just being nosy. That's like you, yeah. It's all still there. Yeah, I know you asked me to get rid of some stuff. No, I'm not asking to get rid of your stuff.
I love that reaction. Yeah. Like you're trying to figure out how to be an entrepreneur. But one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not selling nobody nothing.
I ain't selling nobody my stuff.
Okay, that's like a little museum down there.
It's so much stuff down there from like high school, like old newspapers
that's
and
great.
Scrapbooks and everything.
Dude, I want to go into the Rainer Michael Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff.
That stuff will all be really cool for kids and grandkids and everything. Like when my grandpa passed, he had a storage unit and had all kinds of old stuff in it. And one of them was a scrapbook.
Right.
Because I had always heard that he was a pretty good high school football player.
Right.
And there was all these articles about Don Lundstrom back in the 50s, white running back. That's why I've been so fond of white running backs my whole life. Scored a ton of touchdowns. My grandpa. It was awesome.
He was the man. Did he ever tell you that?
Not really. Because he would never talk about himself in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
My mom and grandma would be like, he was pretty fast back in the day. Didn't look like he was.
Right.
Like, you know, got a little, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, I read the articles. It was like, wow, it's true.
Yeah.
It's all true.
Yeah, man.
He was a superstar. Not that, but he was good, though. But anyway, that'll be cool to have for them. They'll love to look through that stuff.
Don't worry nothing, man. I hold on to everything. I hold on to everything tight. My money, I hold that real tight. My woman, real tight. This job, real tight. I'm not letting that.
One thing we know about Randy's a tight grip.
Yeah, man. I hold on to it tight, man.
Even with those arthritic fingers.
They're arthritic as hell, but they you can't get. Once I squeeze onto you, though, I don't let go. They got like that.
It's a vice grip.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Hello, Bo.
See, we're talking about this slobber knocker of a game tonight and who might be the winner. So if you fantasy footballers out there, if you're looking for a little edge this week, the Dallas Cowboys have given up the most points to fantasy football running backs of any other team this season.
Believe it.
Devin Singletary could be a great play this week.
But people are like,
a pretty cheap DFS play.
I was hearing that all week. Like, they was like, well, Derrick Henry, the way he ran the ball on him and everything. I was like, Singletary ran the hell out of them ball against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Remember, he could have. Now, how many people did he make mad when he, like, took a knee before going to the end zone?
Oh, all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
I love that.
It's what you do.
I wouldn't do it, but I love the fact that he did just to make fantasy people mad.
Yeah.
I don't think he did it to make fantasy
people mad. No, he didn't do it. He didn't know
it.
But it did. But, yeah. And I love it.
Yeah. Is he available in a lot of leagues?
He probably is. He was a very, very late round draft pick. I mean, you know, nobody's really. One, drafting Giants outside of Malik Neighbors.
Right.
And two, you know, Devin Singletary with the Bills never really he would have a good game here.
We still need to fill that flex spot, by the way. I'll look at it.
I doubt that in a 16-team league he's out there.
I doubt it.
Especially after last week. But you never know. So here's one that I'm not sure if y'all got to chop up yet because the audio, I think, just hit this morning, but it was probably talked about yesterday. And this one, Dave Portnoy. And is this where NIL is heading? And I think that it probably is. Why doesn't every university just get one of him?
Michigan. I will be the quarterback guy. You just say, Dave, you go. I'll talk to Sean. Who do you guys want? Who's in there? Give me a group. I'll go get them. I will sign them million, 2 million, whatever it is.
What's the top?
3 million. I'm going to get us a top 10 quarterback in the portal coming out every year. Top 10 quarterback.
Is that where we're headed? He said he was going to buy Michigan a quarterback every other year. Pay him $3 million out of his own pocket.
I don't know why it wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know why.
If you got it,
it wouldn't.
If you got it,
I think that's already kind of what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess
like giving to the collective or whatever. Maybe they are the collective, or maybe there's multiple collectives. I don't really know what it is, but Michigan wants a specific quarterback guy.
Go give it to him.
I suppose so. It's kind of weird timing with the UNLV story because they're going to stay in the Mountain West, and part of it is because the Mountain West is incentivizing them. With the exit fees that the other teams that are leaving are going to have to pay, they're basically giving it to UNLV and
the Air Force.
Air Force is still getting $25 million. You just throw some of that quarterback's way, and then maybe you wouldn't beat Fresno State on Saturday.
If they come back today and be like, okay, here's the other $90,000+, does he go play?
Probably, but then the best wide receiver on the team is going to do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Then everybody starts doing the in-season extortion stuff. And Bear Alexander decided he was the
C. I guess that pot mint went as cool as he thought it was. Like, I don't care. What?
Obviously, you don't want to root against a kid.
Yeah, I
you
don't want to root against a kid. And I'm never going to do that.
But sometimes
but
they
sometimes
make it
this sound real soft. Yep. Like, I want to get to play. I want to play more. Then practice better and play better.
Yeah, be better at football.
I don't know the USC defense at all, but it's hard for me to believe that he's not the best player on it.
Yeah. He certainly one of the starters.
And you know what they want to do? They want to win. And not too many teams are going to take their best defensive player off the field.
No.
So what you ain't doing, bro?
Right, you're not working hard enough.
What you ain't doing?
Working hard enough. Yeah, I know. You don't root for anything
bad. I don't want to ever root against one of these kids, man.
Left Georgia and did it the way he did. No one's doing that. But, handle the situation better. Like, I guess he's not an adult, but he kind of is. Be an adult about it. Anyway.
So the guy that was holding on to Shohei Ohtani's ball has decided to get rid of it. Well, kind of. He's going to let go of it. It's going to hit the auction block, the 50-50 or the 50th home run ball from Shohei Ohtani this season. Opening bid, $500,000. You can buy it outright, just kind of like you can on eBay, for $4.5 million.
And this guy that has the ball gets that money, right?
Right.
Like, that's how that works?
Well, the auction house will probably take
sure,
their
they
cut,
take a percentage
like 10%
or something.
Or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm like...
And the government's going to take about 45%.
Oh, yeah. He'll walk away with like... 2.7 maybe.
That's how California government's going to get their money back on Shohei for all that deferred money. It's all the home run balls, all the merchandise.
Like, good. I mean, because I would probably give this my thought process right now. Now, if I had the ball in my hand, hell no, I'll show you, hey, you ain't getting this back. I'm going to sell it. But at that time, you're like, man, get the ball back, man.
Because I know.
Remember how mad we got about the dude wouldn't give Michael Harris his ball back? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, obviously, my ball's not going to go for that much.
Right. But, no, I know. It's because I'm kind of the same mentality. I'm like, I don't know. All I did was catch it.
Yeah.
Like, if I can get, because they're going to give you something for it in the moment, whether it's season tickets or whatever. I don't know what you're going to get. But it would be nice to have $5 million, like, if you're going to auction
super
it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't you think that Shohei would just, if it's $4.5 million is the buy me price, why wouldn't he just go buy it?
He doesn't want it. Maybe he doesn't care.
That could also be a thing, I guess.
Because not all these guys care about that stuff. Because a lot of times it's Cooperstown that wants to put it in there or something like that. Or collectors. Obviously, the $4.55 million price would be for a collector. You got to really like Shohei Ohtani to spend $5
million
on a baseball that you didn't catch. $5
million. Yeah. So, Caitlin Clark may not be the GOAT yet. She sure should be the Rookie of the Year. But she is starting to act like it if you consider LeBron the GOAT anyway. Last night at the playoff game, they did get eliminated. Caitlin Clark beefing it up with fans trying to get somebody kicked out of the arena.
Well, already. It looked like the dude needed to get his ass thrown out. So that's what I saw from a distance and everything. I talked to Andy. I mean, I was never – I mean, I knew the WNBA was there and everything like that. This crap got on my damn nerves, man. It has. And it's –
the fans
just the whole everything about it. It's just gotten on my last damn nerve. I love to watch these – because these women are ballers and everything like that, and it should be about that, but obviously it has not been. And, I mean, it's just an unfortunate thing, man.
Yeah, no, you don't mean the basketball.
No, I don't mean the basketball. I'm not talking about the play on the court.
Yeah, you mean the discourse.
Everything.
the economy.
Everything
the
else.
Economy of dissent. The nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah, man, it sucks. It's so lame.
They're sick of it.
People have turned it into such a disaster. Such a thing that it didn't need to be.
Yep.
And, the person deserved to get kicked out. They were in there acting
like an
idiot.
Not exactly sure what was said, but the security did come and remove him from his seat.
Show your ass out of here.
Get out of here.
So I guess it wasn't, you know.
Just because you buy a ticket doesn't mean you have the right to go in there and act like an idiot. Man, I don't know. I hope that it gets to where it's just the sport being covered and talked about in a normal way. But also, here's the thing, though. Like, what sport is covered and talked about in a normal way? Like, they're all, everyone's turning everything into this weird overreactionary, has to be this, has to be that, hot take. If you can politicize it slightly, they love to do that. Yep. Like, it's, I don't know. And not my favorite. That's why you need Andy and Randy from 11
these
to 2.
Ladies, because these ladies been balling.
Yeah, man. I watched game two of that Storm Aces series the other night. What a game. What a great
been
game.
Balling.
And just them playing. Just them playing, being awesome. Fun to watch. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoking Joe Patrick's going to join us at 1:20 as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.